One, two, three, four. Testing. One, two, three, four.
The Columbia Workshop. Columbia Workshop. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight the Columbia Workshop presents its seventh program of an experimental series dedicated to you and the magic of radio. In our opening broadcast, we promised that from time to time we would present dramatizations of some of the exciting moments behind the scenes in radio. Broadcasting has proved that one of its most important functions is to bring you news while the news is being made. Thus, on Wednesday of this past week, those of you who may have been listening to Columbia's ace commentator, H.V. Kaltenborn, heard for the first time in history the actual sounds of battle during the cannonading of the city of Arun in the Spanish Civil War. But sometimes, in spite of hazards and difficulties, it is impossible to have microphones on the spot when important news is breaking. On such occasions, quick attempts are made to reconstruct the story and dramatize it. Thus, 4 hours after the Supreme Court's Gold Clause decision, 10 hours after the burning of Nome, Alaska, 7 hours after the death of King George, comprehensive dramatic broadcasts went on the air. But to William N. Robeson, West Coast writer and producer, and the staff of Columbia's Los Angeles outlet, goes the credit for having established the record when on January 16, 1935, the famous prison break at San Quentin was dramatized and put on the air 2.5 hours after the story broke. We're fortunate in having Mr. Robeson here with us. We have asked him to tell you and dramatize the story of the San Quentin broadcast. Mr. Robeson.
Thank you, Mr. King. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. For the past 3 years, I've been producing a program called Calling All Cars on the Pacific Coast. It consisted of dramatizations of police cases, and as a result, I developed a sort of sensitivity to crime news. We had established records for rapid dramatizations in the Dillinger and Gettle cases, but they toppled with a crash on the afternoon of January 16, 1935, when the first reports trickled in from an isolated sandy peninsula in the north, where the San Quentin machine gun guarded walls glumly faced the storied towers of San Francisco. I was sitting at home in Hollywood working on a script, half conscious of the radio going in the background.
Smoke gets in your eyes from the stage production room area. And now Dean Austin steps to the microphone. Stand by for a special news bulletin.
Turn that up a bit, darling.
What? Oh, all right.
4 convicts escaped from San Quentin Penitentiary a few moments ago. Severely beating Warden Holohan and escaping through the prison's heavily guarded walls in a prison automobile with 4 members of the prison parole board as hostages.
You hear that,
not
sure?
Going. How the convicts affect
turn off that set, will you? I've got to make a call.
They're escaping through Marin County with the police.
You know what that means, don't you?
Yeah, you'll have to throw out next week's script and do this story.
Yeah, it'll be a cinch. I can work one up in 6 days.
Dixon
O'Donnell. Hello, Miss Campbell.
Yes?
Yeah, this is Bill Robeson. Listen, save all the reports in that prison break for me, will you?
What prison break, Mr. Robeson?
You'll read all about it in tonight's papers. It just happened up in San Quentin.
Oh.
And tell Kim I'm pulling next week's show and substituting this story.
All right, anything else?
No, that's all. And don't forget to save those reports on the break.
Yes, I will.
Thanks a lot. Can you imagine that? Kidnapping a prison board. Boy, what a show that'll be.
Well, how do you suppose they ever managed to break out?
Well, your guess is as good as mine. I have to wait for the papers. Anything can happen in the prison as overcrowded as San Quentin.
Sounds like you're going to have an exciting week. Wait a minute, I'll get it. Hello? Yes? Well, just a moment, I'll call him. It's Dick Wiley down at KHJ.
I wonder what he wants. Hello, Dick.
Hello, Bill.
What's on your mind?
Listen, Bill, a big news story just broke.
Yeah, I heard the flash a minute ago.
I want to put a dramatization of it on the air at 4:15. Can you write the script and do it?
4:15?
Yeah.
Why, it's 20 minutes past 3 now, Dick.
I know, but we have a gang of actors here. There's an orchestra available in 15 minutes. Sound boys are standing by. All we need now is a script. How about it?
Well, it sounds screwy to me, but I'll try. Wait a minute. When will the car be back there?
The garage said they'd send it back at 5.
Oh, that's a help. Hey, Dick. My car's being serviced. I have no way of getting down there.
Well, I'll send a cab for you.
All right, I'll do it.
Okay.
Now, look, Dick.
Yeah?
Get the telepath to San Francisco open.
Okay.
And keep it open. We'll need all the assistance Holloway can give us up there. And then send a man down to the Times to cover their wire.
Uh-huh.
And have Jack Van Nostrand stand by. I'll need him.
Okay.
Get the cab on its way, and I'll start the script while I'm waiting. I gotta work fast.
Work fast on what?
Didn't you just hear? I'm going on the air with a San Quentin break at 4:45. I've got to write the script.
Well, how can you? You've only got an hour and 20 minutes, and you don't even know what's happened.
Yeah, I know. The fastest I've been able to do it yet is 8 pages an hour, so I'll need
An hour and a half. We'll do a 15-minute script.
But, Bill, I still insist you don't know what's happened there.
I heard the flash, and that's enough to get started on.
Oh, it sounds impossible.
Yeah, we'll see.
The cab arrived in about 12 minutes. I had 3 pages of the opening scene written based on the meager news flash. While the cab stopped for a red light on Sunset Boulevard, I bought a newspaper, but there wasn't a word about the prison break in it. We did 3 miles in a little better than 5 minutes. I wish I could get a sound effect like those screeching brakes made as we pulled up to the studio. An elevator was waiting to rush me to the second floor. 10 actors were waiting, an orchestra waiting, Dick Wiley waiting, everything waiting, but a script that wasn't written.
Hey, Bill.
Mr. Wiley, opening's here.
Hurry up, Bill.
Hello, boys.
Okay, Bill. Okay, come on in the office here.
Sure, got any more dope?
Here's all the teletype flashes so far. I've got 2 girls on the wire. They're Heenan at the Times. They're taking the news flashes. They come in.
Okay, get someone to put a typewriter in here, will you?
Sure, I'll get it for
you.
You're
in now, Ben.
Oh, Ben.
Ben.
Here I am.
Bill wants it.
What can I do for you, Bill?
Look, here's 3 pages of the opening I wrote in the cab. Finish it, will you?
Sure, but what do you want in it?
I don't know. Check the reports. I'll look through the rest of these messages. When you get that done, come right back and we'll have it copied on the duplicator.
Okay.
Here's the typewriter, Bill.
Anything else I can do?
No. Just leave me alone here for about 10 minutes until I go through these flashes and find out what happened.
But, Bill, it's 20 minutes to 4 now. We're on the air in an hour and 5.
I know it, but I've got to get some idea of what I'm writing about.
All right, I'll get right out of here.
The race between the tapping of the typewriter keys and the ticking of the red second hand on the clock began. But that red second hand, the tyrant of radio, the implacable timekeeper of the network, swinging slowly, ruthlessly around the bland face of the studio clock, kept gaining. Conflicting reports, contradictory rumors, sheafs of messages, and each moment a new flash coming in describing the mad dash of the convict-laden car. An opening night excitement gripped the studio as they got their instructions word by word.
Hey, Lloyd! Boy, bring the sound
truck in there. Hey, Leslie. It's piped out in the hall there.
I'm trying to think.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, how's this here?
Awful in a small way, but there aren't any machine guns in this grip.
Oh, I see.
Here's the second thing, Mr. Robeson.
All right, drop it down there. Bill Goodwin.
He's in the studio, Mr. Robeson.
Okay, I'll get him.
All right, boys, let him have it.
Stop.
Hold it. Please. Wait a minute, boys. Here's the second scene, Bill. A couple of guards, a warden, 4 members of the board. And don't forget, one of those convicts is a cockney. Now, sign these parts quickly, will you? I've got to get back to the typewriter.
Okay.
I'll be back.
What about scene, Bill?
Oh, Fred, use anything you've got. Something fake open with. The robber marks from the Chu Chin Chow.
But, right. Bill, I got a check.
All right, boys. Here's your part. Bob Fraser, you play the warden.
All right.
John Prince, you play Atherton. George, stick with us, boys. I'll be back in a minute with the next scene.
Hey, Bill. Do you want 4 or 8 cylinder cars?
Oh, get a kitty car.
Oh, all right,
Mr. Robeson, another flash. They sighted the convicts near Petaluma.
Now, isn't that just dandy? And I haven't even got them in the warden's house yet. Keep bringing them.
Okay, as fast as they come.
What can I do for you now, Bill?
Look, Jack. I'm doing a scene where the convicts caught the warden and kidnapped the board. You start the scene after that, will you?
Yeah, well, what happened?
Here's the flash here. They tried to get across the Black Point cutoff, but the bridge was up.
Yeah.
Then they let one of the hostages off to... They threw him out to throw the police off their trail.
Yeah.
Now, it's all here. Bang it out in about 3 pages.
Okay.
I don't have much time, Bill.
I know.
Hey, listen to this check, Bill.
Go ahead.
Is that okay, or do you want the record?
Oh, the record.
Yeah, right.
I'm from Frisco, Bill.
Anything new?
Yeah, the convict car just turned down the Hicks Valley Road.
Can't those bulls do me a favor and catch that mob?
Do you a favor?
Sure. Here, I've got the biggest story of the year and no climax to it. Ladies and gentlemen, at this moment, the fleeing convicts are being chased all over Northern California by a policeman who are your friends. Thank you, and good afternoon. That's a swell way to end the show, isn't it? What time is it?
4:30.
15 minutes, and we're on the air.
Anything else I can do to help you, Bill?
I've got to get going. No. Now, keep your eye on the teletype and let me know the second any news comes in.
Then I will. Stick right with it.
Gradually, the confusion settled a bit, and at least 2 scenes were roughly rehearsed with sound effects and music. As I pounded away at the typewriter, I couldn't help wondering if the whole thing wasn't a foolish undertaking. I remembered my wife's words, "It's impossible," and more as the seconds dribbled away into eternity, I began to think she was right. But the gods of accident and chance smiled in radio that day, because just as it seemed as if the show would be a complete clam bake...
Here's a chase scene, Bill.
Yeah, let's see it.
Good. Good swell. Hmm.
Fine. Mary Garvin.
Yes? What is it, Mr. Robeson?
Run this right off, will you?
But I haven't finished the other scene yet.
How much longer are you going to be?
Oh, we're doing it as fast as we can, Mr. Robeson.
Okay, stay right with it.
All right.
That's about all we can do on the script, Jack. I'll taper it off with a narration on the chase. Now, if we get stuck for time, we'll have to fill in with music.
All right, you've only got about 8 minutes.
Yes, I know. Give Sam Pierce a hand on the sound effects, will you? And send Fred Stark in here.
Yeah, okay.
Fred! Oh, Fred!
Yeah?
Phil wants you.
All right, that's funny.
Yep. What is it, Phil? I'm in a big hurry. I haven't much time.
Now, you're telling me, Fred. I've got to end this show with a chase narration.
Yeah?
Those guys are still flying around with that car. Uh-huh. Put in that number you used in the Dillinger case.
I know the one you
mean. That's the one. Give it the works. Otherwise, the end of the show will be an awful letdown. No climax.
Sure. I will run the boys through one.
Okay. Just four dangerous criminals are at this moment speeding down the Hicks Valley Road. The armed forces of society closing in slowly, relentlessly against teaching lawbreakers crime does not pay. Oh.
Here, Rosen. Come here, quick.
Where are you?
Here in the teletype room.
Coming. What's up?
I don't know, but this special class sounds just right.
Four convicts escaped from San Quentin this afternoon were captured.
Wow.
After a furious gun battle.
There's the show. There's the show. How much time?
4 minutes.
Stand by. Everybody, stand by.
Goodwin, Sam Pierce, hold everything.
Well, we're getting ready to go on.
Yeah, but listen, they were just caught. I'm going to write the scene. Now, I'll probably bring it in while you're on the air. Sam.
Yeah?
Now, get out the arsenal. Machine gun, 22s, everything you got. We got a big battle scene here. Now, you'll have to ad-lib it.
Okay.
All right, now watch me. Now, if I bring out my right hand up and down like this, that means give it the machine gun fire.
Yeah.
Now, each time I point my finger at you, I want pistol shots.
Okay, right.
Joe.
Yes. Hey, you're not going to take a chance with the last scene cold, are you?
Oh, what else can we do?
But the cast won't even have a chance to look at it, you know.
Well, that can't be helped. Tell them to do the best they can. I've got to get this tape. Now, there'll only be one copy. They'll have to read it over each other's shoulder.
Right.
Listen, everybody. Hold it, everybody, please.
Quiet,
please. Bob, listen, we haven't much time now. Quiet. We're going to have a new closing. Listen, everybody. You won't get a chance to see it. We'll assign the parts while we're on the air. Keep your heads and watch for instructions. Robeson's working on it now. There'll be only one copy.
1 minute to air, Goodwin.
All right. In your places, everybody. Fred, quiet the musicians down. Quiet, boys, quiet.
We have one quick run through. The opening thing, Robert's March from Chu Chin Chow. In two, my Sozo on the downbeat. It's 1 minute airtime, Bill.
Okay, I'm nearly finished. Two lines more.
Well, Goodwin told him to watch for instructions in the last scene. You think it'll work?
If we keep our fingers crossed. There it is. Let's get into the studio.
15 seconds. 10 seconds. Stand by. 5 seconds.
Ladies and gentlemen, 2.5 hours ago, the most daring prison break in the history of California occurred at San Quentin Penitentiary. We now bring you a dramatization of this headline news story exactly as the events have been happening, as a special presentation of the Public Events and Special Features Department.
Charlie, right here.
We will reenact for you the daring break in the events which are occurring at this very
time.
Ladies and gentlemen, the San Quentin prison break.
Early this morning, as the inmates at the main cell block in Sam Quentin Prison file into the washroom, Rudolph Strait, bank robber, joins Joe Christie, hold-up man, Alexander Mackay, British-born robber, and Fred Landers, highwayman. They engage in guarded conversation.
Come on, get your face dry and get over here.
What's up, Rudy?
I asked you the other day if you was willing to blaze out of here with a .45.
Yeah.
Well, today's the day.
I thought you was fooling.
I'm on the level. How about you, boy?
Sure. I'm all set.
So am I. That's great. Now, here's the lowdown. The prison board's meeting with the warden this morning. None of those bulls want any trouble while the big shots are here.
Maybe they'll get some whether they want or not, eh, Rudy?
You know, I've been thinking. Suppose it don't work.
Suppose we get plugged or something.
You ain't yellow, are you?
No, of course I ain't yellow.
You better not be. You're in this too deep to back out.
Oh, I was just thinking.
I'll do the thinking.
What are you going to do for Gat?
That's all taken care of. You ain't got nothing to do but come along and do what you're told.
We got some 45 stashed away. Say, who's that?
Fresh fish, I think. I don't know him.
Do you think he's wise?
No, no. He wouldn't be making a noise if he was.
You never can tell about stools.
Now, look. The board's meeting in the warden's office, see?
Yeah? So what?
I got a tip that they all go over to the warden's house for lunch.
Now, what's that got to do with us?
Plenty. We drive up in the old Ford like we were doing our work. But all the time, we got the 45s in our belts.
Yeah. Then what?
So we go in and we snatch the warden and the prison board.
What?
You're nuts.
No, I ain't. We snatch the warden and the prison board. They'll come in handy. Cops won't shoot so fast when they know we've got big shots in tow.
Holy mackerel. The warden and the prison board.
Yeah. They've been handing out and turning down paroles all morning. Maybe they'd like to see how it feels to be the guy on the carpet. And for once, we'll be the big shots. Kind of a funny idea, don't you think?
It's okay if it works, Rudy.
Oh, it'll work. We'll be out of this joint in less than 4 hours.
Look out. Here comes a bull.
Take it easy.
Before noon, Joseph Stevens, Frank Sykes, Warren Atherton, Charles Cox, and Mark Noon, members of the State Prison Board, take a recess from their morning meeting to join Warden Hallahan at luncheon in his home within the prison walls. The pleasant, sun-filled room gives no indication of the impending danger that lies just outside those high French windows, where 8 hard eyes are watching every movement, 8 keen ears straining for every word.
You ought to be congratulated on the splendid work you're doing, especially in view of your limitations here.
Thank you, Mr. Atherton. No one knows better than I the necessity for relieving the congestion here in the prison. We have almost twice as many prisoners as the institution was built for. The result is unrest among the men. Can't be helped.
I presume you feel as though you were living on the edge of a volcano all the time.
Something like that. You see, gentlemen, the granting of early paroles is by no means the answer to our problem. When you have thousands of men herded together as they are here, there's apt to be spontaneous combustion, in spite of every effort we make to treat the men well.
You're quite right, Warden. The only answer is the erection of another prison. Yes, it may be.
Pardon me while I answer the door.
Certainly.
Pick him up, gentlemen.
Well, what is the mean?
Pick him up, I said.
Why, I don't...
We mean business, Warden, not with him.
But look here. You can't come in here like this.
Oh, yeah? I've been wanting to do this for a long time, Warden. Have any of you mugs any protest to make?
All right, Judy. Cut out the rough stuff.
I don't like that guy.
Well, snap out of it. We didn't come here to bump the warden off.
Well, just what did you come for?
We're going to get out of this place. And we're going to take you with us.
What? What for?
You'll make good bulletproof vests.
You boys can be executed for this.
If there's any executing to be done, we'll do it.
Look here. If you boys...
Now, you guys take off your clothes.
What? What?
You're going to need them. Come on, come on. Let's have your coats and vests. You can wear our uniform.
Leave my coat alone.
Take it off. Take it off. Come on, give me that coat, fella.
Oh, my.
Ah.
My coat.
Not so bad. Come on, fork over. All except you. You're too fat. None of us could wear your coat.
No, that's consolation.
That fits. Not bad at all. You can do something else for us, though. You call the prison gate and tell them to send the warden's car over and that we're coming through and to have the gate open. Go on, there's the phone.
Oh, but look here now.
Go on, go on. Come on, lift it. Lift it.
Hello, Westgate. This is Mark Noon speaking. Send the warden's car over to the house, please. Yes, that's right.
Tell him to keep that gate open. They're all coming through. And they're not.
And the whole board will be coming out in a minute. So have the gate open, please.
Now,
You birds look like a swell assortment of cons. And we look just about as respectable as you did when you had these clothes on, I guess.
Come on, Rudy, let's get going.
Don't get excited, Joe. Okay, gentlemen. Cut through the side door here. I see the car coming.
Will, but what about the warden?
We'll have to leave him. He'll come to sooner or later. Alec, you talk to those guards. All right, gentlemen, make it snappy.
All right, you at the wheel. Drop that rifle, quick.
Drop it,
or we'll plug you and these guys here.
Okay, gentlemen. Pile in the back. You there, stay at the wheel. You're driving it. And this other guard, you stand on the running board. Come on, boys, make it snappy.
Look here, my man. You'll never get away with
it. Get in! This is my party. Okay, boys. Let's go. Kick that siren open and drive straight through the west gate.
Offices from San Francisco, from Oakland, from Marin County, close in on the territory surrounding San Quentin Penitentiary. Parties of citizens are hastily organized. The bombing squadron at Hamilton Field stands by for orders that will send them into the search from the air. The state teletype spins the law's web across California, describing the escaped convicts, describing their fleeing car. A few miles out of San Rafael, the convict car turns off the highway toward the Black Point cutoff. A mile down the road, the cutoff drawbridge swings open with exasperating slowness. They pull up with a burning screech of brakes.
Can you imagine that? We're practically out of the heat when that monkey has to start pulling switches.
Nothing to do but turn around.
You're telling me. We gotta go back into all the cops in the world.
If you don't mind,
shut up, you.
But I want to ask a question.
Let them talk. It'll make them feel good. What's on your mind, Toots?
What I want to know is, how in the world did you get those guns?
That's a professional secret. What you don't know won't hurt you.
Rudy, look.
What?
Cops ahead.
Get your rods out. Step on that siren, Mark, and drive. Just as I figured. They're afraid to shoot on account of our passengers. You boys are a great help to us. Look here, driver. What's your name, by the way?
Jones.
Oh, one of the Jones boys, huh? Well, listen, Jonesy. Just pull up a minute. I'm going to let our fat friend here out.
What?
Yeah, you're going to get out, and you're going to tell that posse back there to go on home, or we'll bump off your pals here. Give us a half hour, and everything will be okay. Pull up, Jonesy. Okay, get out. And don't forget that message. Get going, Jonesy.
Come
Mark Noon, secretary of the prison board, immediately phones the prison of his whereabouts. With orders to hold fire as long as possible, the army of the law goes into action. As police radios blare last-minute flashes, a posse composed of hundreds of men and scores of police cars block every highway and byway in Sonoma and Marin County. Slowly, the law closes in, combing the hilly North Coast country. As the convict's car swoops into the Hicks Valley Road, the posse sights it. The chase is on. Deputy sheriffs pull shotguns from the roofs of high-powered police cars. State patrolmen crouch over white motorcycles, unlimber guns, sirens scream. 10 miles, 12 miles, 14 miles they roar west of Petaluma. The law holds its guns in readiness. The convicts, still out of range, apprehensively look backwards. Then, when they are 18 miles away from Petaluma, the convict's car takes a turn too sharply. The car skids, the law is within range.
That's all you guys. Hey, John, they get the car on the road.
Can't help it. They got off the rear.
Oh! What's the matter with you?
They got me. In the light.
Try to pick off that guy on the motorcycle, Joe. Come on, John. They are. I can't go any faster than 50 with that rear tire off.
Well, I can. Get out.
Oh, don't throw me out, for God's sake, man.
Get out. Push him out, Alex. I'll drive the thing.
Ah!
Gee, I never knew a guy had bounced like that when he hit the road.
So you threw me the gun on us. I can't get any more speed out of this thing than he did.
There's some buildings up here. Find them out there.
Okay. I'm going to stop him. Jump out fast and run for it when I do.
He's into those buildings.
Are you all right, Hank?
I think so.
Hang him up, you.
Oh, don't. Oh, God, 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 don't shoot, Sheriff. That's Atherton there. They made us change clothes.
Where are the convicts?
They ran into that building.
Okay, men, surround the building.
Look out, Hank. Call behind you.
I got him. Let him have it, boys.
Just 15 minutes ago, the escaped convicts were captured near Petaluma. According to the last news flash just given to me, at least one of the convicts is dead, and Warden Hallahan is lying in the prison hospital critically injured as a result of the assault he received at the prisoner's hand.
You have just heard the dramatization of the San Quentin prison break. This broadcast was a presentation of the Public Events and Special Features Department of the Columbia Network. Your announcer is Bill Goodwin.
Okay, we're up here.
Congratulations, Bill. That was swell.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, we were lucky.
Wow, Joe.
Bill,
thanks, everybody.
I didn't think you could do it, but you did.
Thank Jack Van Nostrand. If it hadn't been for him, we'd never have gone on.
Oh, hell, you had a couple of scenes.
You're the baby.
Hey, wait a minute. Listen.
Open that window, Charlie. See what that kid's yelling.
X-ray, all about the San Quentin prison break. All about the prison break. Get your coffee and read about the San Quentin
break. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard a behind-the-scenes dramatization of the fastest radio reenactment in broadcasting history. It was written and directed by William N. Robeson as guest producer for the workshop. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.